Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bobby Roberto Belt after Draft 101 in Frisco last night.
I'm great.
I'm up.
Your lips look great.
Yeah, yeah. I put
they
on.
They are red.
Very red. It's because I just put on chapstick or whatever, so it's glossing them up a little bit. But yeah, they were all the talking I was doing yesterday. It dried out the lips.
So. Who was it? Just reset what the event was.
It was Draft 101 with obviously ourselves here in partnership with DallasCowboys.com. It was this somewhat ticketed event. It was more a registration. We reached a registration cap, and then we did it in the Dallas Cowboys meeting room, but it was myself, Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com, Kyle Yeomans, Wolchuk was leading it, Broadus was there, Aisha Morrison showed up a little bit later, and then it was just basically a kind of overview for 45 minutes, and then it was 45 minutes of Q&A with people there in the audience.
You get good questions?
Yeah.
What surprised you about the knowledge of the Tolos and following the draft?
How deep
into rounds will people ask about someone?
We did. Yesterday it was funny. A lot of them weren't questions about, like, players or anything else. It was more about strategy with, like, the Cowboys. Like, hey, if they did this, who's a guy you would actually trade up for, even though you don't have a lot of capital? You know, how do you get back that fourth round pick? It was a lot of that stuff and a lot of different things about execution. I was talking to Wolchuk after we got done, and I was like, I know it's called Draft 101, so it's supposed to be like, hey, here's, you know, basics class or whatever. But I still feel like, and I know that I'm there to answer questions for people whenever they say they're asking about logistics or how the draft operates or whatever else, but I still felt like, well, actually, like, I felt like I was being a little, like, it naturally sounds a little smarmy when you're telling somebody like what they just said. It's like, well, here's actually how it works, and this is the way that the Cowboys do it, and blah, blah, blah. And so
did you talk fast or remember to slow down a little bit?
I mean, have you ever heard me talk slow? Literally in my entire life. When I was driving in earlier and he was talking about Mark Fidrich and everything else, he's like, just never stops moving. I was waiting for one of you to be like, oh, sounds like Bobby on the pitching mound.
I was trying to come up with an analogy for how you speak. It's like skipping rocks. Like, you start off the sentence with the first skip, like the rock hits the water, and then, like, you'll go over some words, like, in the middle of your sentence.
It ramps up. Yeah. It's really fast. That was the, when the doctor first...
And your nervous tic is to scratch the back of your head, too, while talking.
Is that the one? The one that somebody told me recently I do, and now I can't stop seeing it, is they say that I, like, tug on my hat. And now that they've said that, I can't... Something. I do it a lot.
I worked with a guy who would constantly just take his hand and just shove it up to his, like, nipple. He would just do this. He'd be sitting like this.
It was just a little treat. That's all.
That's all he did. And I was like, every day. Every 5 seconds, that's what it was. Very strange.
Somebody did come up to me last night, though, and say, like, you bounce your knee a lot. And I was like, yeah. And you could see it on, I went back and saw it on the camera. I did not stop bouncing my knee the entire time. But it was great. Chef Eric was out there, Tolo D. I got to meet Tolo D. That was fantastic.
The famous D. She wrote me a lot of surprising things about you.
She said she said all of them to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she did. And she's like, you know what? You're kind of an a-hole, but, you know, you're a good one. And she's like my late husband. My late husband was that way. She's like, his name was Bobby, too. I used to say, you're an a-hole, but you're one of the good ones. And that's what she said about me.
She wrote, Bobby is actually nice. And then I sent her the picture you sent me of you and her. And then she said, he acts different in person than on the air. And
Do you agree with that?
No, I think you're really engaging with people to, like, socialize with them. Maybe they wouldn't pick. It's, I mean, kind of similar to me a little bit. Like when we go out to parties or bars, they'd be like, whoa, like you're drinking and you're buying everyone drinks. And I thought you were going to be out here barking and yelling at people. So maybe it's similar to that.
I think Bobby's more trolly off air.
I am, because I leaned into it yesterday. They were like, why don't you ever show up at 6 a.m.? Or why don't you ever show up at 5:30? Somebody said that. I was like, because I'm sitting here right now. Sean and RJ aren't, are they? Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting here doing this for the next hour and a half.
How cool was it, though, being in that film room, right?
That's, I mean, it's really cool. It's like, it's, and thank you to Derek Eagleton at the Cowboys, Scott Purcell, who is there helping us out, get everything, you know, videoed and out on the live stream. But it's, I mean, it's an awesome, you know how awesome that facility is, but being in that team room and stuff like that, it was a little like, I don't normally stop down and get a little like, oh, this is kind of cool. But I mean, it was like, this is cool to think you're sitting right here. These listeners are sitting right here in the same spots that like maybe Dak sits or CeeDee Lamb or whatever else for a team meeting. So it was cool. It was a great event. Again, thank you to Gavin Spittle, Derek Eagleton for setting this all up for us. And it was a good time.
All right, let's just, I guess, keep it on the draft right now. We have plenty of time to get to the Mavericks and official picks for the Clippers series. But Bill Barnwell, Choppy, went through some different scenarios from ESPN.
Yeah. I love when he does this. He'll basically trade every pick. So he operates as if every pick in the draft is going to get traded. Now, when he gets to each team, so always remember, when he gets to each team, the original team's always still there. So he acts as if they never made a trade in the first place. But he does trade every pick. And he does trade the overall number one pick. He trades it to Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh.
Bad trade for the Bears. And Will Chambers would really lose his mind at that trade.
And the Jags also.
Yeah, I would not do that if I was Chicago.
There's an upside, obviously, with Caleb.
Yep.
That you can't.
Although I'm terrified over Caleb Williams, the person. Terrified. I said this mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. If they traded out of it, I would get it. I would not absolutely kill them because I totally disagree with Sandler with the optics of not his fingernails, but just all of his actions and the things, the way he acts. And no agent on top of it?
Yeah. Ooh. So there is one thing here. Between week 9 of 2022 and week 9 of 2023, so full year, Trevor had a 63 QBR, which was ninth in the league. And they were 13-4, but then he gets hurt, and then they torpedo. And he was quite bad at the beginning of 2022. So there was that one-year window. It was almost like Dak in the reverse. Dak had like a one-year window when where he wasn't great, like in like 2017, before they got Amari.
It was about from the Zeke suspension until they traded for Amari. So yeah. It was about a year.
And it was about a year stretch where it was like, what are we doing here? But then he overcame it, and now it was the reverse with Trevor, so we'll see what happens. But that'd be interesting. The Bears would also get the Jags' second-round pick and fifth. So Lawrence, a 2 and a 5 for the number one overall pick. Washington would trade down one spot with New England and just flip-flop, pick up a 3rd and a 2nd in the following next year's draft and a 4th. You keep going down. New England, they trade out of theirs. They move down to the Raiders. They pick up a couple of firsts to go down 10 spots. Where it really gets squirrely for me is the first time the Dallas Cowboys name jumps into the fray. That's where it really gets squirrely for me, because they jump in at number 20. They trade up.
Oh.
Okay.
With a lack of picks already.
They go from 24 to 20, and they give up. Obviously, they swap first-round picks.
And before you say the name, Bobby, who would be some people, some positions that are screaming, okay, I understand them giving up capital to move up for this person?
It's funny. We had a listener last night ask us, like, who would you trade up for? Who would you go for? And I was like, you're going to have somebody from, like, the top three slide to the teens for me to want to trade up this year. So, like, the very top offensive line, maybe Joe Alt at Notre Dame, Olufashinu at Penn State. Like, It has to be like Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. like sliding down to CD territory. But I mean, if he's going to, I understand it's an exercise where he's just got to trade everything. I'm guessing this is Fuaga, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State or somebody like that.
They don't give a name necessarily here, but.
I thought that was the exercise.
Because they said you could get Graham Barton. That was kind of one name they threw in there. But they would give up their first. So they would swap firsts. Also give up their 3rd and 5th But get back, Pittsburgh's fourth. So instead of having a 1-2-3-5, you would have a 1-2-4-6. No. Absolutely not.
Old Billy. Not for four spots. I'm not trading up four spots and losing more. We were talking about this again last night. The idea, and I know I've gone on this rant recently, the defensive tackle argument. And I've talked about why I don't think it makes sense to take a defensive tackle. But we were talking about the idea of like making a trade or trying to get more capital or do whatever else. And people were talking about like, could you get back up into the fourth round with your fifth and trade some back stuff? And it's like, guys, you're chasing your tail if you're doing that. Like going up to get somebody, you're going to be constantly trying to replace that capital. And what you really need to hope for is somebody who will let you trade back. That's what you need to hope for.
Yeah, if you go up to get somebody, you're doing it for like a quarterback a lot of times. That's why the value's gone up. Now, when they get to the Cowboys pick at 24, the Cowboys do trade down, right? So he does have them trading down here with Kansas City. So the Chiefs would just get the Cowboys pick, the Cowboys first-round pick. They would pick swap, so the Cowboys would get 32. They would also get the Chiefs' third-round pick at 95 and their fifth-round pick at 159. So now you would go 1-2-3-3-5-5.
Love it.
I love it.
Go for it. I am all about if you can find somebody, I will trade out of the first round and lose the fifth-year option right now if you can get me more picks because they need it. In fact, if you look, the exact on the trade value chart, the classic trade value chart from Jimmy Johnson, if you look at where the Cowboys pick at 24, they were to drop down to, I think it's 36 with Washington. 36 from Washington and 78, middle of the third round. Those two picks are an exact equal match for the point value of Dallas's pick. So I'd be willing to trade out of the first round, lose the fifth year option, say, okay, I don't have a fourth anymore, and I'm losing the first, but give me two twos and two threes to kind of fix some of these depth issues. All right, I'm in. Now I'll talk about defensive tackle. Now I'll talk about other things like that. That gives me some options.
And that's where they that's the only ones that involve the Cowboys. But I love that they do these exercises. They just trade all over the place. But it's I would not trade up.
You know why?
Not a chance.
You know why I don't want the fifth year option at this point? Where I'm like I'm cool sacrificing that is because all it has proven to be for the Cowboys in the last 5 years is an excuse to wait on a deal. And so to me, it's like. That's not insurance. That's not anything else. That's an excuse not to get something done. That's how you've used it. You've weaponized it, essentially. So I don't care, really, if you lose the fifth-year option. You've got to figure these things out. At some point, you guys got to start getting ahead of things a little bit and getting things done.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney Hotline. Was there one name or two that the Tolos really focused on or were fixated on yesterday? And did you feel like they were bored with center and offensive line options in round one?
No, there's a lot of, there's a lot of Graham Barton talk from Duke. That is the name that we were all talking about up there on the stage. That's the name that a lot of people in the audience seem to want. Everybody, it feels like, is set on you need the offensive line. Now, if it's tackle versus center, that's kind of the fixation or the discussion right now. But I think that the majority of the room there last night of the listeners all felt like, hey, this is something where center is clearly a blinking light need more than anything else on the team. We've got to get addressed. But I also could tell from the discussion there's a lot of people there who just don't agree with me on the defensive tackle thing. Like, there are a lot of people who would say, I'm fine taking a defensive tackle in the first three rounds, and I can't get there.
Do you see the amount of TV dedication to our next subject? What is going on?
Women's gymnastics?
Yeah. Nope. Is Caitlin Clark doing that, too?
No, that's coming up at 7, women's gymnastics.
Yeah, get it for the expressway.
You like that?
Why are all the national shows focusing on the debut of Jack Leiter like we're going to do next on the Home of the Rangers? With Sean and RJ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Maeda comes to the set of the belt. 1-1. Jonas swings here, and that's hammered to right field. If it hangs, it's gone. That one is out of here. Just above the 7-foot wall, Jonah Heim pulls a home run to give the Rangers a 4-0 lead.
And a 6-game hitting streak for Jonah Heim with the 2-run shot. Jared Sandler with the call on your home for Rangers baseball. And that will continue today as they start off in Atlanta to take on John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, and CJ Nikowski's Braves.
Steve Avery.
But yesterday, well, I was alluding to people we had on yesterday, but I get what you did. 9-7, Rangers get the win and take the Tiger series with the Jack Leiter debut that is all over national television.
Yes,
they're
it is.
Covering this thing like it's game one of the World Series.
I think if his dad wasn't Al, they might not have done the same thing.
Agreed.
I think that plays a major role. Boy, that Dave reminded me because we were talking about his like.
He looked like Al too, man.
He looks just like, and he does.
Before, I didn't see it when he was first drafted, but then with the hat and everything and just dude, looking at it, I was like, all right, that's Al Leiter.
It's the facial expressions he makes. Mm-hmm. Like after the Leody non-error yep. out in center, you see him kind of like it's like a power walking back, and he's gritting his teeth, and he's got his mouth. Oh, have you ever seen those games where you have to have the mouth like super open? They put your lips wide open,
like the dentist office thing.
Yeah, the dentist office thing, but I can't remember what the game is called.
KissableDental.com.
Mm. But his mouth has that. His teeth are like wide in view, and his dad did the same dang thing every time there was a play out there. It was either an error or he gave up a hit. I was like, man, this guy's he is definitely a chip off the old block.
I thought, man, watching that first inning, I wrote out so many Twitter drafts and had them saved for each inning that he was, you know, ultimately gonna strike out two or strike out the side. I was ready to talk about like, all right, fixed it. All right, Chris Young, I'll shut up about all these minor league pitchers that have not come to fruition. And then the second inning happened. And that's the
leadoff walk, bloop. Baez went up there swinging. He drilled one to left. Green RBI triple. Just like that, it's 4-3. And then Canna single to tie.
Mm-hmm. It's
lead gone.
It's one of those things where, like, that to me is a great example. If you want to see just like a snippet of how quick major league hitters and teams like adjust to scouting reports and things like that, like they clearly had to work on it. Like, saw him in the first inning. All right, let's get a look at him, see how he attacks, things like that. And they came out with a plan in the second inning of like, all right, he's going to do this. Let's come at it this way. And that's the sort of thing that he's going to have to adjust to, and he's going to have to develop a, you know, more of a plan, more of an approach, and throw these hitters off a little bit. Like, I mean, the first strikeout.
Look at even, Ryan with the video work on the fan cam and Twitch and YouTube while Bobby's talking. Well done.
The first strikeout was, like, I mean, it was just three straight fastballs. Like, that,
yeah.
And so, I mean, I think they got a little bit of an idea. Look, the stuff was good. I thought a lot of it, there were flashes of it where it's like, oh, that changeup is really nice. Oh, the slider looks good. The fastball's got some, you know, good velocity on it. There were things that you liked about what he did. It's just ultimately you also see, okay, we should put in context that he is 8 months removed from coming off of the developmental list because he was essentially broken, and they were like, yeah, we got to figure you out, dude.
On that first pitch, that first hitter, I wonder if that guy was going up there. He wanted to have him throw everything. He wanted to see everything because, like, that's – for him to take just three, not right down the middle, but pretty dang close to right down the heart of the plate, is not something that you see a major league hitter do. I think he wanted to see a curveball. He only saw a changeup and a fastball. I think he wanted to see a slider. Like, they wanted to report back. They love to report back. Oh, is this what he's got? That was a very odd at bat, and he took advantage of it. Like, I don't think he was expecting him to go fastball there on 0-2. I don't know what he was looking for, but definitely wasn't looking for fastball there.
Well, look, you could take two runs off his final stat line.
Absolutely.
Because of what happened to Leody in center field. Bassett was bringing up maybe the wind changed on him from earlier in the series. The wind was a storyline throughout the entire series.
Well, you know, it's their first game outdoors, Sean.
on the grass in spring training. But he misjudged it, and it ended up being a two-run triple, and that makes it 7-6 instead of 7-4. I believe there were two outs.
Yeah, there were. It would have been third out.
That would have ended the inning, yeah. And there's four earned runs instead of six. That was an error on Tavares, yeah. Whether the wind screwed with him or not.
Yeah, so truthfully, his line would have been four innings, four runs, had Leody made that catch. And how different does that look from 3 2/3 and six runs?
A ton different.
I mean, it's night and day. And it's. I mean, we're looking completely different at his game, at his outing. There's not going to be a headline that says Jack Leiter has a forgettable debut.
Yep.
Right? It's not going to be all over SportsCenter the way it would be. I mean, it may be, but it would be in a different way.
Yep.
So that one play. And he has to make that. Like, that is, I mean.
I thought he had it tracked, I thought.
He thought he had a track too, and it just carried a little bit more. I mean, that's a little league miss.
Yeah,
that's what center fielders who's 11 years old does. Not a major league baseball player.
Thankfully, Detroit's defense sucks more because they came in best in major league baseball defensively, and man, what a hot mess they turned things into. And then Leody had talk about Leiter's roller coaster. It may have been more of a roller coaster, just as much for Tavares because he got lucky. He would. How much is he getting destroyed if he gets tagged going from second to third?
With
the swipe goes over his head,
big time.
And he lucks out. Then a throwing error on a Seager ground ball gives the Rangers the 8-7 lead before Adolis doesn't run and Bochy gets tossed.
And he gets tossed. I mean, that's
all that in the eighth.
Uh huh. I mean, that was a bad. It was a very sloppy game, start to finish.
Really series.
Yeah, it was. But hey, look, I mean, it's your first series on grass. So when you do that, you're going to have sloppy play. There's just no doubt of wind and elements and then baseball still round.
And then Tavares, to his credit, they try to balance things. He had the two-out RBI single for the insurance in the ninth.
Yeah, and then the double down the line, or the one that touched the chalk.
Well,
he was late on that one. Big time. Big time late.
I'll tell you what's the most exciting thing about this game. Jose Leclerc getting back on track. Got a dub, baby.
I was getting.
Winning pitcher.
He was the winning pitcher.
Yeah, he was.
Eight straight balls for Leclerc. Then he starts the inning with a strikeout, walks two in a row, then gets the strikeout, and then Kirby comes in to end it and close it. But man, Jose Leclerc.
How do you feel about Kirby right now?
I mean, how could you not freaking love him?
Are we at a point where it's like, are we locking down?
No. The state of bullpen things. Well, he's 36. If he was like 26, I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah.
Here we go. Here's the arrival. Yeah. But he's been around for a reason.
He has. He's been around, and he's had. I remember he had a pretty bad injury a couple years ago. Go back and look. I thought that was him though when he came over. But him and Robertson's had a couple of blow-up games where he's just not been there. But outside of Leclerc, I mean, I haven't been terribly displeased with the back end.
Yeah, well, I mean, and on the front with Kirby Yates, like, he absolutely has been impressive to this point. I would much rather have him in their closing games right now than Jose Leclerc, obviously, who is just a mess with his control almost every single time he goes out there, it feels like. But we do have to remember, like, last year we felt really good similarly about Will Smith for the first, what, like 6 weeks where he looked really, really good. And it was like, oh, okay, he's turning back the clock. Will Smith is ready to go here. That's the kind of thing that I think you still have to weigh a little bit with Kirby Yates, is because, like Sean said, you're talking about a guy who's a little older and was on the downswing for a lot of people for a reason.
All right, what else is happening in the West? The Rangers have won two in a row. The Seattle Mariners, Bobby, have won three in a row. They're tied for second at 9-10. That's how ugly the division is.
Ugh.
The Angels are 9-10. The Athletics are 8-11. And the Houston Astros, who came out and said,
Forget about the Astros already, Choppy? No Astro worry?
Buster only says the Astros are not a team the Rangers have to worry about in the American League West. Not a team they have to worry about. I love seeing that.
Ooh. Little early.
6-14, that's a hole. Like, that's a real hole you're digging.
Wait, they're 5 back.
But, I mean, even if they're 5 back, 6-14 is not... That's bad. It's one of those things. What do they always say? They're like, you can't win a division in April, but you can lose it.
I mean, they got Verlander, who's been hurt. Urquidy and Fromber are hurt. A lot of the rotation's down. Like, their bullpen options in the middle innings is a mess. As for a team ERA, they have a 5.35. Only the Rockies are behind them. So Bregman is taking the field for the first time in his career. More than 5 games under 500.
Find the odds of the AL West and see how much they're docked by Vegas. I guarantee it's not that much. And if it is, hop on it.
It's obviously very early in the season. So, like, saying somebody's on pace for something is a little bit ridiculous at this point. But just to show you how hot a start Mike Trout's on, he is on pace right now for a 162-game season of 68 home runs.
Baby.
He has just been like
a reminder, a choppy reminder for his boy.
Well, it's a reminder for all of us, right? Because we were talking about.
Well, we know he's the best player in the sport when he can walk.
No, right. I'm saying a reminder for all of us. Like, you're seeing this on display now, and you're seeing the way Wyatt Langford struggled. And that's why, like, we should all be a little like, all right, let's pull back on calling anybody the next Trout, which is something that, like, we all talked about. That was the scouting report. And Langford has been decent at times. Like, early on in the season, I thought that he looked really good the first couple series of the year.
Yesterday, RBI double, but he had a big strikeout. They had bases loaded in the 7th with one out. Wyatt K, Heim K. And I was like, there was an opportunity. You found the best teammate in Major League Baseball?
Yusei Kikuchi. Kikuch. The Cooch. Kikuchi. Kikuchi.
Kikuchi board.
Yeah, I was... I was watching MLB Network the other night, and this they cut to this game. It was Kikuchi against New York, and Sarah's like, "What are they saying?" And I was like, "That's the guy. It's the name of Kikuchi." So every time he starts and they win, he shares a bottle of Yamazaki whiskey, and this is like a $3,000. But they've got like a $300,000 bottle over there. But every time
what was the whiskey?
Yamazaki.
All right. You couldn't find Yamazaki whiskey instead of Tennessee whiskey playing?
No, they don't have that here in the States.
It's supposed to be amazing. It's super cool, though. Like, to me, this is like best teammate in the world guy. This is the guy I am laying out for in every fly ball. The guy just now, listen, when you're at that level of income, this is nothing, right? It's nothing. You're the major leaguer. You're accustomed to Louis Martin or Louis the 13th, the Remy Martin stuff. But this is just, what a gesture. Shohei should learn from this guy. What it's like to be a teammate.
Yeah,
no, there's a story that Shohei is really connecting in the clubhouse.
It's so stupid. Oh, yeah,
of course he is, because he's everybody's gambling plug.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, that was you had a story the other day from ESPN that they're like, how Shohei Ohtani is connecting with his Dodgers teammates. And it is just slobbery and just basic stuff. It's like, oh, look, you can tell how strong their bond is because they're talking about what they're seeing between at bats. It's like, yeah, that's what people do in the major league. Like, that's not why are you guys trying to blow up everything he does? It's like, see, look, Shohei's a good guy. You guys should all love Shohei. I am sick of having Shohei Ohtani, like, forced down my throat the same way I'm getting Taylor Swift lyrics forced down my throat on my Twitter timeline today.
Wait, did her album come out?
Dropped at like 2 a.m. or something.
It's out.
Why did they drop it at 2 a.m.?
She's an West idiot. Coast.
Pepe, try to... Let's come back with nothing but Taylor songs the rest of the show.
Yeah!
Let's see if we can find one. Let's see if we can find a couple of them.
Yeah,
one in particular that's blowing up?
I would love
up?
To know.
Everybody's like quoting. She like makes a reference to Kadarius Toney. She's got like Travis Kelce references.
Oh my gosh, she is a football genius just like Mahomes said.
She is. She's a wonderful
All player. Right, let's see if we can find a Taylor Swift song. Biden and Antonio Brown weigh in on Caitlin Clark. Barkley is defending the Pete Rose of the NBA, and we may have discovered a burner account in the NBA playoffs. That's all next with Sean and RJ.
Okay, Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, this is good so far. That's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
One for one.
You talk about being a functioning alcoholic.
This has Post Malone in it, too.
My entire life.
It does?
It's got Posty in it somewhere.
Bobby has thrown the headset with Taylor Swift, dropping the 36-song album overnight.
Tay-Tay and Posty? That is going to be a...
I kind of want to hear him kick in on this.
Yeah, this thing is going to... You will hear this song 5 billion times.
Well, is this like the most popular one people are talking about so far? Peyton, or just the only
one? Yeah, I think
one
with Post Malone, it popped up pretty quickly on the YouTube.
Let me go on the Spotify real quick and put Taylor Swift in and see.
You're already going to favorite it?
Her number one song is called, most downloaded song is called Cruel Summer. That's older.
That's old.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It
hasn't
hit
Fortnite.
Yet.
Fortnite?
Fortnite.
Oh, gosh. Named it after a video game, too. Yeah.
Or that's a two-week stroll, or Wimbledon.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I mean, she churned out a 50-song album with all, like, relevant, like, week of content. Like, she's freaking SNL. Like, it's almost like...
Oh, she's like the South Park?
It's almost like she creates prepackaged bull spit, people just eat it up.
It does have to pick up. You're losing me. It's got to pick up.
I agree.
This is not going to be... I'm not even listening. This is... Oh, I broke the headphones. Throw them off. This is not going to be... The song of the summer chop is going to be whenever we finally get the Morgan Wallen Post Malone song that's been... The little teaser clip's been out.
Oh, that is a good one.
You mean Post Bail?
Morgan may be unavailable to tour, but boy, it's a shame.
When is this going to kick in?
Yeah, I know.
I think he's more background than anything. Like, he follows her talking. I don't think he has, like, a solo part or anything.
Oh.
That's what I'm seeing.
Post Malone not big enough to actually have a legitimate part.
Yeah, he's stuck with Morgan. He's stuck doing stuff with Morgan, not Taylor.
Turn it up. Let's see if this increases. The beats. Okay.
Too much Billie Eilish for me. That's got too much of a Billie Eilish feel to it. That song's got to pick up. I'm excited for the other 35, Peyton. Get them ready.
877-881-1053 if you're interested or you're throwing your headphones like Roberto on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney Hotline.
If that woman worked here, like all the songs.
On the spot downstairs?
I want you to understand, like, if she was here, like, there would be so many songs about, like, referencing, like, drama about, you know, each one of us. And I don't respect the general approach of, like, oh, I'm going to leverage every personal relationship I have for, like, music. She thinks she's, like, freaking...
Doesn't everyone write about the drama in their life?
Yes, they all do.
Yes.
It's whiskey.
Yes.
It's sex. It's relationships.
Yes,
that's
what
music is.
Yes. But, Basically. Sean, if I started a fight with you just so I could write a song...
Oh, you think she starts fights for content?
Yeah, she thinks she's Stevie Nicks.
Well, I think we got Posty.
She thinks...
little duet right there.
She thinks she's Stevie Nicks writing about Lindsey Buckingham. Like, in reality, this girl is... Cheryl Crow in need of a cheeseburger. Like, that,
Cheryl
that
Crow's
is
fantastic. Cheryl Crow's fantastic. All right. Awful. Choppy, do you want Biden, Barkley, or Burner?
Oh.
I knew you were going to do that. Okay. So, well, we're going to tie in Biden with Brown because Antonio Brown went at Caitlin Clark yesterday.
He did.
What a piece of garbage. He is a human piece of crap.
He is.
He really is.
He,
I don't care about, you know, bipolar, CT, all that stuff or not. He's a piece of crap. He is. Going to go after a college kid like this, man.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark blocked Antonio Brown.
First block of her career.
I don't know how many blocks she's actually had, but she blocked him. Why did she block him? Because Antonio Brown is kind of a loser. I think that's the easiest way to say it. Now, the initial tweet to show that she was blocked says, wait for this one.
Yeah, turn this down to get the drop on Choppy here.
Cracker of the day. Hashtag CTESPN blocked.
CTESPN? He wrote that?
That's what he always does.
He puts that tag on everything.
It's like breaking news from CTESPN.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's wonderful.
That's good.
Very clever.
That's very
clever. Okay, it's very clever.
Yes.
He says, blocked by Cousin It. Cousin It.
Yeah.
And then he said the other one, the reason she blocked him, boy, can I really read this? I guess I can.
No, he's alluding to hair in certain regions.
Certain spots.
Yeah.
And how
he doesn't like brunettes.
You like that?
Jesus, mate.
What's Greg Doyle doing? Responding to this.
You probably like the tweet.
Yeah. So he's sitting there talking about her appearance and her looks, piece of garbage that he is.
Says she looks like Mel Gibson. Says she reminds him of Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Is Mel Gibson, hairy?
Like needed a shave on that mugshot or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. That's Antonio Brown going at Caitlin Clark.
And then
she blocked him.
President Biden weighed in on the WNBA salary, saying women in sports, he tweeted this, or someone did.
Someone did.
Women in sports continue to push new boundaries. And you actually, do you have the tweet?
Yeah.
Would you like to read it?
Ah, women in sports, say. Continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all.
Dude, I heard someone on the radio try to do like a Trump impression the other day. It was the worst.
Oh, no.
It's hard to screw up a Trump impersonation. All I could think of is how you would bury it.
You know what I realized his Biden impression is?
Biden?
No, well, it is. But Choppy's Biden impression is really just like his geriatric Matt Mosley impression.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's a good one. So here we go.
Women in sports continue to push us to new boundaries and inspire us all. And we're seeing right now that, hey, many of you are the best. Pay the fair share. It's time to give our daughters the same opportunities our sons that were given by squirrels and ensure women are paid what they deserve. They go to the store and buy ice cream and get chocolate chip ice cream every day.
He did not add
ice
cream. But here he is talking about equal pay. And not the difference in revenue for the two leagues.
Did you get a statement on the issues he has with the pay disparity between the UFL and the NFL too?
Yeah, right.
The women's
lingerie league should be paid equal.
Yeah.
To Dak Prescott.
Right. I agree with. Yeah.
that actually is a really good point. Like, if you want to discuss like the pay gap, the thing you point to is the UFL.
Yes.
Versus the NFL. It's like, look, they're the same sport. It's a different league. And the WNBA is a different league. They don't make the same amount of, you know, baseball players don't say make the same amount as football necessarily.
Of course.
They make a lot.
Yes.
They both make a lot. NBA, you know, the NFL guys don't have guaranteed contracts. It's not all the same. It's all collectively bargained, and it's based on the revenue that your sport brings in. There are women in college athletics, quite a bit of them, who make way more than the men. Because they're a bigger draw on social media. So they should make more.
The UFL players make $54,000, by the way.
So they've ESPN actually has an article up about how long it takes on a player's contract for them to an NFL player's contract for them to make a UFL salary. For Joe Burrow, it's 60 seconds is he makes $54,000.
So a minute of game action. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep.
Why is Charles Barkley and how is Charles Barkley defending Jonte Porter, the Raptors player banned for life for betting on games and betting on his own team to lose and leaving games early to hit the over under prop bets that were out there in the gambling world? Barkley disagrees with Adam Silver's decision on Sirius.
I wish, because he's such a young kid, I want to make it clear. I understand why they did it, and rightfully so. But I wish they had said, okay, 5 years, something like that, to give him another chance. I understand, like I say, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I understand why they did it, but he's such a young kid. I wish they would, because, you know, I'm always, Nick Saban says something, and he's the greatest college football coach ever. He says, yeah, people give me a hard time when kids screw up and I give them a second chance. He says, what am I supposed to do with them? Am I supposed to throw them out in the trash and wonder what's going to happen for them the rest of their life? Mm. And he does. And I always tell him I admire him because, you know, we all did stuff when we were young and dumb. And he says, I'm not going to throw an 18, 19-year-old kid out in the trash and said, good luck the rest of your life. Yeah. I'm going to punish him. We're going to punish him, and we're going to give him a second chance.
If he appeals, I don't know if he can appeal this or not. I have no idea. I'm sure he can. If he appeals as they come back and they give him a four-year ban, I'll be okay with that. Now, in the meantime,
Charles is basically saying don't throw him away for life.
Right. He could probably go play in Europe. He'll make $30,000 a month in Turkey, and you know he'll have a decent living. But it ain't an NBA living. He might make $30,000 a week in the NBA, as opposed to a month in Spain. So there's a reason they all come over here. They don't come over here because the housing's cheaper.
Yeah, you know I agree with Silver banning him for life initially. If they want to backtrack somewhere down the road, okay. What did this guy average anyway? Like, what did he put up, and what would his career be in 5 years coming back to the NBA? 5 years may just end it anyway.
Yeah, and when Barkley...
I don't feel bad.
When Barkley references Saban as like, well, Saban gives guys opportunities. If Saban had a player that was essentially taking a dive to hit over-under bets,
oh, yeah.
Saban would...
Yes.
Saban would be the first to throw him out.
Yep.
Like, and so that's an awful analogy. I don't get this perspective from Charles at all.
Well, it's just like over-punishing, like life sentence.
But like for somebody who loves the game of basketball like the way Charles does and was in
he
it and stuff like
that. He
also
loves gambling.
He does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. Maybe he's got a guilty conscience.
Yeah,
maybe that's it.
This is a guy who's been basically on a two-way contract with the G League his entire career.
Yeah. 5 years going to end him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the league. He was up, but this year he was also down with the Raptors G League team. So he's been up and down. His entire time, he'll go to Europe, I'm sure, if they don't ban him still. But he'll go to Europe and he'll be okay, but he won't be NBA player.
All right, Bobby says it's actually your Dallas Mavericks that are all in. The playoff schedule is set for the Stars. Let's preview Mavs Clips next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.